Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the homily today, I'd like to look at the second reading, a beautiful and soaring passage from St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. You may remember the words of this. In this passage, St. Paul is posing the question, what can separate us from God's love revealed in Christ? And he goes on to name many things that are indeed very distressing and could very easily be the sort of thing that would draw us away or maybe seem to prove that God's love is far. Anguish, distress, persecution, famine, present things, future things, powers and principalities. Would these things be able to separate us from the love of God or prove that God's love has departed from us? St. Paul gives his answer. And it's not simply a dry sort of academic answer of saying, well, God's love is everywhere, so therefore we will always be close to God's love. That's true, but that's not the way that St. Paul says it. Here's what he says. No. In all these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. In my homily today, I'd like to look at the life of St. Paul, very briefly. To look at his life and see through the progression of his life how it is that St. Paul was able to give such an emphatic and powerful response to this question. Is there anything that can be able to separate us from the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus? Let's look at his life, because when we understand that a little bit more, we'll understand why he can pose and answer this question the way that he does. And I think it'll give us also some strength, hope, and faith. So St. Paul's life in three stages, let's say. The first is actually when he's not even Paul. His name at first was Saul. He only gained the name Paul later when he would go on his missionary work. At first he was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. And although we don't have a biography of his early life, knowing exactly where he came from, and except for the city name, but we can pull together a few things that are quite clearly part of his upbringing. One of them is that he is in love with the great tradition that he has received from his Jewish heritage. And that he is deeply, deeply devoted to God. His knowledge of the scriptures is incredible. I mean, he's not the sort of person who's like, oh, you know what, I've thought of a scripture passage. Let me quote that scripture passage to you and tell you all about it. No. He's the sort of person who, just while he's talking, in the middle of his sentence, he'll start quoting scripture. He'll have scriptural allusions and metaphors built into the very way that he talks. He's just drenched in the scripture. It just flows out of him in the most natural way that you can imagine. Read his letters. You'll see it all the time. He quotes the scriptures sometimes. He's talking in the language of the scriptures almost exclusively. It's just coming out of him. He is deeply devoted to God. He's a Pharisee. He very clearly identifies himself as being part of the Pharisee movement. The Pharisee movement was actually the popularizing movement. It was the movement that said, holiness, God's holiness, is for everyone, and everyone should be practicing that holiness. So in very many ways, it was a very positive, beautiful movement that was happening within the Jewish communities at that time, though we see often the sort of extremes of that in the gospel when Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and they are sort of obsessed about following the rules of the law, right? St. Paul was no different. He said that when it came to being a Pharisee, that he was sort of the best of them, right? He was the best at doing all of the Pharisee things. And what's more, he even describes himself. Later on, he would describe the sort of person that he was as Saul. And he would say that he was zealous for the traditions of the ancestors, following his Jewish heritage. He was zealous. Now, this is a specifically kind of biblical, churchy sort of word, to have zeal, right? But honestly, if we were to translate that into our more modern vernacular, how would we describe Saul of Tarsus as we meet him, as he emerges on the pages of the Acts of the Apostles? Zealous for the Lord and for the traditions of the elders? Zealous, yes. But in our language, we'd probably call him a religious extremist. And with all the overtones of sort of terrorism that comes with that. The first thing that we see Saul do is stand by and watch approvingly as a mob, enraged at Stephen and his confession of faith in Jesus, picks up stones and murders him in broad daylight. St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus at the time, stood by and watched approvingly. This was not a unique position among the Jews at his time. All the way back from the time of the Maccabees, about 100 years earlier, there had been a resistance movement against the, at the time, Seleucid Greek, and then in St. Paul's time, the Imperial Roman oppression that was leaning heavily upon the Jewish people. There were rebellions in the time of the Maccabees, in the time of just after Paul's death, there was another rebellion that resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And then another 50 years later, there was yet another armed rebellion against imperial oppression by the Jews that finally was pushed all the way out to their mountain strongholds and finally destroyed all of this. This sort of religiously inspired and in many ways very deeply violent movement was something that was very much in the air as Saul, this brilliant and dangerous young man, stepped out onto the scene. At this moment, we can take a reflection and say, what about this question that St. Paul poses? What can separate us from the love of God? And if we were to turn to this Saul of Tarsus as a young man and ask this question, well, Saul, what can separate us from the love of God? Saul would have been very clear about answering. Oh, there are lots of things that can separate us from the love of God. And we need to do everything that we can to make sure that doesn't happen. He was a Pharisee. He was obsessed about being able to follow the law and the rules of the law, and saw that if there were deviations from it, that God would punish the people. So everything that could be done had to be done to enforce this. And if that included murder, so be it. The picture of a very dark person. What can separate us from the love of God? In his fear and in his built-in anger and hatred, St. Paul recognized so many things that he was afraid would separate us from God's love and blessing. And as a result, he watched approvingly as the mob killed Stephen. He watched and he made his own plans. Not long afterwards, in the pages of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear that St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, had indeed started to put his plans into action. This new group, these Nazareans who were following Jesus, they needed to be stopped at whatever cost. With letters from the high priest giving him permission to go and do this, and breathing out murderous threats, the language of the Acts of the Apostles, Saul, marches out from Jerusalem to Damascus, where he intends to imprison and kill those who are following this new way. On the road, something happens. Ready to go and implement his dark plan, Saul has an epiphany. He has a theophany. God reveals himself to him. This is recorded actually in a couple places throughout the New Testament, this moment when Saul encountered God. And it's interesting, some commentators have noted that the details of the story actually change a little bit depending on which version of it that you read from the different parts of the New Testament. Almost as if whatever it was that St. Paul experienced there on the road to Damascus was something that was so overwhelming, so transformative, that he was never quite able to put it fully into words, what it was that had happened there. But we do know this, that this moment, this encounter with God that happened on the road to Damascus was so powerful that it literally blinded him, and he was unable to see for days until members of the Christian community came and prayed with him. It provoked such a response in St. Paul that he described later that he had to spend 3 years unpacking, processing, trying to understand what it was that happened. Because this is what he encountered on the road to Damascus. He was very emphatic about this. He said, "I met Jesus, and he was alive." Very emphatic about this. He says, "Listen, I am a true apostle," later he would say, "because an apostle is one who has witnessed the resurrection of Jesus." And he says, "And I did. There on that road to Damascus, I did. I encountered him, and he was alive." And what's more, there were words that came to Paul at that moment. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Hearing these words, Saul is completely destroyed. He suddenly realizes that everything that he had been trying to do in devotion and zeal for God has now been turned around. He's been on the wrong side. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus asks him. We can once more return to that question. What can separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus? And here, St. Paul must have been grappling with an incredible realization. First, that he had been so wrong, ignorant and hateful, he had been so wrong. And yet, God came to him. Jesus approached him and intervened into his life in this moment as he walked the road to Damascus. What can separate us from the love of God? Our ignorance, our sin, our hatred? Well, yes. But what if God intervenes? And St. Paul realized at that moment that God had in fact intervened. That Jesus is in fact the Messiah, the one that all of God's people had been waiting to come for. And that he had not allowed Saul to continue on in his ignorance and in his arrogance, but instead, he intervened into his life, revealed his mercy, and completely transformed Saul, Tarsus, the angry, dangerous man, and transformed him instead into the one who knew the love of God, who was merciful and forgiving. The next phase of St. Paul's life is when he transformed from going through this conversion to becoming then part of the Christian community and even a leader and even a preacher and a missionary, as he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There is so much to talk about. I love St. Paul. He's great. And we could spend so much to be able to unpack everything that he did. But let's focus on to just one point here that I think is very powerful in this story of St. Paul. See, St. Paul, he seemed to get it in a way that even many of the other apostles didn't quite get it, in as far as understanding the scope of what it was that God was accomplishing through Jesus, through his death and his resurrection and his gospel. See, St. Paul was the one, more than anyone else, that went beyond the Jewish community and went out to the rest of the world to go and to proclaim the good news. More than anyone else, we see the effects of St. Paul and his missionary zeal. In fact, many who have studied the sort of history of this have looked at it and said, you know, if it wasn't for Paul, like literally just him, if it wasn't for Paul, the whole New Testament, the whole new church, the whole kind of experience of Christianity probably would not have escaped the orbit of the Jewish world, maybe for generations or centuries later. The history of the world has been transformed remarkably by this one man, Paul, because of his conversion at that moment. And when we read through the story of St. Paul and what he was doing, his tour of where he went, impelled by the love of God that he had received in his own conversion, it's like the tour of the most important and influential places of the ancient world. Yes, he started in Jerusalem. He went forth from there to Antioch. He went to the great city of Ephesus, where there was one of the wonders of the world, the temple to Artemis. And he preached there right in front of this giant pagan temple. Riots broke out because of the way he was preaching there in Ephesus. He encountered so much resistance, was put in jail. He got out. Where did he go after that? He goes to Athens, there at the Areopagus, at the heart of philosophy and learning in the ancient world. And he's debating Jesus and the resurrection there in front of all of the philosophers. He goes to Corinth, one of the great economic trading places there in the ancient world. And he goes to Rome, to the imperial capital itself. Everywhere that he goes, proclaiming this good news. I've met Jesus. He died and he's alive. And he's the Messiah. And through his death and his resurrection, God has revealed his love for us and his plan, his destiny for us. Can we hear now with new ears these words? Words that he spoke to the Romans, but that echo and continue that we might hear them today. In our own lives, in our own times. God knows we're going through deep crisis.
God knows there are so many things that can leave us afraid, that can make us question and wonder how we're going to be able to keep going forward. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? No. In all of these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
St. Paul experienced profoundly the love of God there on the road to Damascus. It transformed his life and quite literally altered the history of the world. So what could happen if we also allow ourselves to experience the love of God for each one of us? What would it do, and how would it transform us so that we could face all of the trials and the fears of future things and of present things and be able to face them with such faith and hope and confidence as to say, no, we conquer overwhelmingly through the love of God that has been shown to us in Christ Jesus our Lord? These words of St. Paul echo down to us today. And we might also have the challenge and the confidence to experience God's love for us and in our own ways, to go and to conquer overwhelmingly the trials that we face in our own day. Amen.